I wish I played violin. Are you kidding
me?
That's an intense instrument.
So Rabbi Natan Mibreslev is Rabbi Natan Miribinov was the chief student of Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev. Rabbi Nachman himself says that none of his Torahs, we wouldn't know anything about Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev and the way he transformed Judaism if not for his student Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan was a devout Talmud. He followed around Rabbi Nachman, recorded everything he said, even on Shabbos, and he had an amazing memory. And he wrote many, many Sfarim, teaching the works of Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev. He himself was a tremendous tzaddik, who was always being Ovid Hashem, always talking to Hashem, stressing very much the concept of Hidbodedut, of constantly praying to God and making God your best friend. Something that was very, very important to Rabbi Natan. And he's a tremendous tzaddik, so this should be le'ilui nishmato. And on a personal level, I thought it would be kedai to start off with 5-10 minutes of Rabbi Nachman before we went into reincarnation, because he mamish got me through so many tough times in the army, in particular. I don't know if I told you guys, but this book, Sefer Amidot, was like my book. When I was in the army, I'll tell you why.
You always carried this book on you?
I would like all the time have this book on me.
Do you have notes on that?
So this, not this particular copy, just this book in general. Why? Because it's Rabbi Natan took like Rabbi Nachman's works and he like alphabetized it on different character traits, and it's like one-liners. But like each one-liner is like really quoting from Gemara or Zohar or something that Rabbi Nachman said, and they're very deep, and you could think about each one of them for a very long time, and so they're perfect for an army shift where you don't want to actually be like steigen a safer because you got to have your gun out, you know, and like protecting, but at the same time you could like think about one thing and like for like hours be like contemplating it. Yeah, so I have deep hakarat hatov to Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev for saving me in the army. And so what I would do sometimes, I would just say, Hashem, send me whatever. What does Rabbi Nachman want to teach me tonight? So let's do that right now. You guys ready? Hashem, what does Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Natan have to teach us tonight? Please tell us.
You have your page marked.
1, 2, 3. Okay. Wow.
What are we on?
It's on fights, Mariva. I
had a dream about fights the other night.
It's crazy.
I mamish beat the heck out of this guy in my dream. It was really disturbing when I woke up the next morning.
Thank you for sharing. Alidesha.
I don't
know. We love you. Alidesha Dovri Malatzadik. When we speak about the tzaddik. Get it? We're just talking about tzaddikim. It becomes stronger than your intellect and philosophy. Rabbi Nachman wasn't so big into philosophy. Instead of talking about all these intellectual wall, free will, and this, just talk about tzaddikim, talk about great people, have role models, and try to emulate them. So apparently Hashem wanted us to say, good job that we're talking about tzaddikim like Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nathan. So we have role models as to how we should live. Gevalt. Well, should we try another? What does that have to do with fights? I'm not really sure. That's why I told you, it takes like an hour to think of that, to figure it all out. It's not so simple. Okay. One more. Please, Hashem, send us something that Rabbi Nachman, Nachman has to teach us. Please, Hashem. Okay. Ide limu tinokas based rabban by teaching students. Nistaraba shalom is a lot of peace. Maybe that way we're teaching. I'm teaching you. We fight. Okay, one more, maybe, or two more. By teaching students, you bring peace to the world. Somehow, by learning Torah, brings peace to the world. Because God's
Everyone
name is.
If everyone in the world was educated, I don't think we'd have war. I think that's fairly accurate.
No, because everybody still has their differences.
I mean, but I'm saying all the sinach chinam in the world would, I think, would, if everyone was mamish educated, there'd be very, very little sinach chinam.
Ezrat Hashem, it should come soon.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I wanted to say a bracha in honor of Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nathan, but before we did that, I thought at least we'll learn a little bit of what Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nathan has to say about eating. So we have holy kavanas and we have these holy, holy, delicious fruits of Eretz Yisrael.
This one's technically a vegetable, no?
Yeah, you're right. Mimashet ha'ochel tishayer k'desh yachu b'yirchad Hashem b'mezunotecha. Rabbi Nachman says, when you eat, leave a little bit of food in your plate. Don't finish the peanuts. Leave a little bit of peanuts and delicious fruits. Why? Why does Rabbi Nachman say that you should leave a little bit on your plate?
Self-control.
You're not supposed to waste them.
You're not wasting because you're fulfilling God's will, which is to leave a little bit of extra stuff on your plate.
Why is that?
So you just said it's to exercise self-control.
It's a sign of self-control.
To show that you're not an animal. An animal just eats and eats and eats, but we are human beings. We can take...
I was talking to like a really serious chassid when we were in Tzfat last year, and one of the biggest piece of advice he gave us, he said, when you're eating food, how do you start moving up on the spiritual plane? He said, when you're eating food, before you say your bracha and start eating, stare at your food for a minute, and when you're done eating, leave over a bite. Every time. If you do that every time you eat on a spiritual plane, you will start soaring and learning will be so much easier for you. I haven't tried it. I have no self-control. I can admit that. But like he says, it's really good.
I will tell you that when I overeat, my learning is not as good and my spiritual connection is not as good. And when I overindulge, I can feel momish. And when I like on Fridays, I try not to eat anything except fruits. And my davening is so much better Friday night and I feel so much more connected. So I really do feel like it affects me. It's not just a made-up thing. So exercise self-control could be the bracha actually falls upon you through the food that you leave over. It's also, by the way, nice. A lot of times when you take for yourself, you're thinking about yourself. When you leave over, you're thinking about others. What does Rabbi Nachman say? When we eat properly, you get purified from your sins. By eating in the right way, we actually purify ourselves from sins. Rabbi, take a peanut for the road.
Say Adama.
Adama. Amen. But eat a little bit. L'chaim, eat and men. All right, one more Torah. Kishe ochel ksat, when you eat a little bit, libo. Your heart wants to eat more than somebody that didn't even start eating in the first place. If you have that first taste of the ice cream, it's so hard to hold back. But if you are able to hold back in that moment,
I never eat only one pint.
So honestly, you know what the key is? To be honest, make a plate, say I'm eating this amount, it's out. No more.
But now, what if you like eat chakra, which is like a really like small burger? To leave over a small part is like leaving over a big part.
And that's why Hashem will bless you, Mamish, so much.
I've never gone to Ain't Check and gotten only one burger.
That's what I always do.
It's never happened.
Tonight, in the schutz of Rabbi Nachman,
We're gonna take three and fries.
We're gonna take control. We're gonna be like tzaddikim. He says, Mishi. He says, he says, watch this, guys. Achila the tzaddikim. When you eat like a tzaddik, dola yoter mekorbanos. More than bringing a sacrifice is when I eat properly. Yeah, achila tzaddikim gdola. Eating of a tzaddik is higher than a sacrifice. Pretty crazy. Higher than even the relations. So tonight, when we're gonna say our bracha, we're gonna say it with a lot of kavana, but we're gonna do like everyone suggested. We're gonna stare at it, like you just suggested, and we're gonna take a set amount, and that's it. No more, no less. Okay? To have self control and say that's it. We're not animals. All right? Everybody take however many you take a few, take however many you want, and that's it. Take some peanuts. Take some holy almonds. They're etz and adamas. We're gonna
you have
eat.
To say eights first, no?
Eights and then Adama. We're going to say bracha. And when you're eating, just have the kavana that without this food, like, we'd all die. Without food, we would all die. And it's God loves us so much that He's mamish giving us with chesed, this delicious fruit. Think about the long journey that these vegetables went through so that we can eat them with such holiness. So, Gavalt, take your... Look at that self-control. Good. Look at that guy. Awesome.
What's up,
you want to say a bracha with us? Awesome. Okay. No, but it's okay. That's not overdoing it. That's enough protein for a day. Efu, you like some? We're only eating a lot. That's true. We're only eating some and no more. We're not allowed to add more. Okay? You ready?
Oh, you had like...
By the way, I think if we did this in life, our lives would be so much better. If we just had set amount and that's it and stuck to it. You ready? Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Beriyai. Some great salt right there. Alright. Adama? Tu Bishvat? Tu Bishvat Bracha. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
Chaim.
Almost ready for Purim. Beautiful. Alright. Chaim Cheva. We are now going to do a quick review of how reincarnation works. But in order to understand how reincarnation works, we have to understand a little bit.
So good, no?
How, with nuts, it's the hardest to have self-control.
Very good thing.
A little bit. How our soul works, okay? So the teaching that I'm teaching you now are based on the book by Rabbi Aryeh Trukman called Dynamics of Reincarnation, based on the teachings of the Arizal HaKadosh of Isaac Luria. Yeah? Rabbi Isaac Luria lived from 1534 to 1572. And one of his main things is he taught the secrets of reincarnation to his students. One of his biggest revelations was reincarnation. Now, how did he come down to such a big thing called reincarnation? For 7 years, he learned and by himself and would only come home for Shabbos. All the rest of the time, he barely ate, barely drank, just sat and learned. And that's when he was privy to these great esoteric revelations from God. Crazy.
Please leave us alone. You are disturbing our Torah learning, Mr. Fly.
Who's the Yetzer Hara?
Ask him politely to leave you alone instead of hitting him, and then he'll leave you alone.
Thank you. Okay. Now, there's a book called Shara Gilgulim by Reb Chaim Vital, his main student, which reviews how reincarnation works. We're basing ourselves on that book. Now, the Arizal felt that the revelation of reincarnation would help bring the Mashiach. And that's why he specifically wanted to reveal it now to usher in the process of redemption. and reveal the inner dimension of Torah, which Gilgul is a huge part of understanding that. Okay? At any point, you guys can ask questions. I'm just going to keep going. There's a lot to cover. The primary way in which he revealed his Ruach HaKodesh was through his knowledge of Gilgulim. There's stories which say that Arizal could look at your forehead and know what your purpose is in life, and know what you need to fix.
Whoa!
And know what your sins were. Know everything about you.
I would love to have that.
Would you really?
I need some sharp muster in my life.
Truth is, I would too. That would be great. So when I find him, I'll let you know.
You're still looking for Ruach HaKodesh, no?
I'm still looking.
If either of us find someone, we'll tell the other, yeah?
True.
Okay. You're not going anywhere, Solomon.
That's all introduction. Now we're going into reincarnation. When a soul leaves the world, every action, every thought, and every speech that you say is going to have to be held accountable. I'll say that again. Every action, every speech, and every thought that you have is going to be held accountable according to the... When to turn 30. Now, that goal of life...
You're 19, Solomon.
And for our soul to become a perfected part of God, an image of God. That's the goal of life. And our soul, which is huge, to become perfected through our own work, blood and sweat and tears. That's the goal. Okay? We have to work hard to get there. Every soul is judged based on your level. So if you came on in the video game of life at level 4, the question is, did you get to 5? Right? If you were at 8, you got to get to 9. So we can't judge any person for another person's judgment. Okay? The Baal Shem Tov talks about this a lot. And Chassidus is basing himself on the teachings of the Arizal that we all have souls and reincarnations. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, every soul comes into the world, according to Chassidus and Kabbalah, for a specific purpose. There's a general purpose, general mitzvot, and there's also a specific tafka that only you can achieve, and that no one else can achieve. Okay? And the Arizal was trying to help people understand their purpose in order to achieve their goal. It's like the Shlomo Rebbe says, if you're living your life and you're doing good stuff, but you're living somebody else's goal, you may have to come back again. And I wouldn't say you wasted your life, but you're not here to achieve what you're here to do. So that's a great question.
You could kind of figure it out based on your strengths and based on your weaknesses, based on your interests.
For sure, Ben, you're definitely correct. I guess that's a whole difference here of how do you figure out what your goals are now that we don't have the Arizal to tell us straight up. But me too. Wouldn't we all? Right? But apparently God wants us, part of the goal of the modern era is that we got to figure out, I don't know, without Arizal to tell us. But the truth is every person does have Ruach HaKodesh within them. So you do have that power. You just need to work hard to get it.
Supposedly, if you master all of Masilat Yesharim, you can get it.
Sounds like
it's a rumor I've heard.
Yeah, but I don't think it's about mastering it as if like learning it. It's about like living it.
Yeah, I'm saying like.
Okay.
Do you live in it?
No.
Good luck.
I struggle just reading the darn thing. I can't even. I'm talking about right? Practicing it.
The Masilat Yesharim is kind of stuff.
You read Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, the reason he became such a tzaddik, such high Ruach HaKodesh, is because he mastered not just learning but living the Masilat Yesharim.
I'm saying, if you can live, not learn, but like master living the Masilat Yesharim, yeah. They say you can get Ruach HaKodesh.
That's what the Mishnah says. Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Now, Ta'achos. There are 5 levels of our soul. Let's review. Nefesh is the animal soul. It has to do with my instinctual drives. I want food, I want this. That's my nefesh. Okay? Ruach relates to more like emotions. I want honor, I want love. Okay? Neshama is our intellect, our brain. our logical side of ourselves. The Chaya.
What happens to the ones that you save over?
We'll find it. We'll find it a good home. Your Yitzhak Tov got the best of you. Your Chaya is your interaction between your conscious and your super conscious. And the Yechida is a divine aspect of the soul. It's really a chelik of God. And the soul's goal is to perfect itself on every level. There's five levels of the soul. Its goal is that every single way it's going to perfect itself. You understand that? Okay? Saying some big things right now. Now, the first chance a person can to rectify everything, the nefesh comes into a person at birth. An animalistic nefesh. At 13, you get a ruach. And at 20, you get a neshama. Okay? If you don't get it the first time, one level can only be fixed each lifetime. Once you achieve a fixing, you generally die and you come back. These are pretty crazy things we're saying.
What?
It could be you're doesn't mean you're going to immediately die. But when you die, you've achieved your goal and you're able to move on to the next stage of the game and work on a different level of your soul.
You die on your birthday, doesn't that mean you completed your goal?
That you what? It could be, I don't know if it means, but it could be it's more of a...
Wait,
it's
just like a big thing if you die. Yeah. Fine.
It is considered a big thing. Right? There's no guarantees.
So if you feel like you're going to die, then what? You kill yourself?
The only guarantee in life is a life worth dying for.
Now, another important point is that the soul is like an iceberg. Meaning to say, the vast majority of the soul is under the surface. What we are able to reveal is only like the tip of the iceberg. It's like a little bit of what, but our soul is huge. Huge.
Like,
not physically,
like
but
huge. Huge.
Like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Donald Trump huge?
Huge.
Shalom. As you get to know yourself, you actually draw more and more soul into your body. So right now, as we're learning Torah, we might actually be drawing more Torah. Soul into ourselves. If you go to the mikvah, you're like purifying, bringing more soul into yourself. Do a mitzvah, you're bringing more soul into yourself. More and less soul can be coming into you based on your actions. Okay? Now, the exact same soul never comes back into a new life. There's always new aspects of the soul which can manifest in the next lifetime. Right? So your soul as it is in this lifetime, Solomon, is not exactly the same as it was last lifetime. You've got new aspects. That's why
one of the five levels might be the same and the others will be different. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. So this can explain why some people at age 3 can be completely different. But they're different souls. And they come onto the world for different purposes.
It goes about the same person.
As you are now?
No, what I'm saying is 2-3-year-olds, they have like the same father and mother, but they'll be totally different because their souls are coming onto the world.
Even identical twins.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we were comparing Saul now to Saul when he was 3.
They
look the same, for sure.
He was much
same
cuter
size.
Now than he was then.
That's because we trimmed his beard.
You would do that, man. All right. Now, we're now going to the 8th chapter of Sefer HaGilgulim. Why do people have to come back? So let's go through it. 1, because they sinned. Because of sins of previous lives, God might send you back. 2, by performing mitzvahs you didn't achieve or didn't focus on properly in your previous life. I don't know, last life you didn't have a chance to, I don't know, daven at the kaiso. So this life, God gave us a chance. Sin. You did a sin, and you got to come back to pay for it, pay for your good deed.
Well, I prayed about the full dawn.
You're set. 3, to help others in their personal tikkunim. You know, maybe you're a great guy, but you have to help the rest of the world.
You have to be a teacher.
I hope I've achieved all my other tikkunim. I have a feeling based on my life that I still got what to fix. I still got plenty of things to fix. Hopefully I can also help other people achieve their tikkunim. But I think I also have plenty of things in my own life to fix.
Aren't there people that say that once you complete your goal, you die?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they mean immediately you die. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
And that's how you know they haven't completed what you know.
There are stories which indicate like that. Like, there's a rabbi who was like saying, "Oh, my son, he's such a tzaddik," and then this other rabbi was like bashing him, saying, "No, he's not that great," blah blah blah. And then he said, "What's the pshat? Why are you bashing at my son?" He says, "No, because if in the heavenly court they realize he's so perfect, he's gonna die because he's achieved his tikkun. I don't want that to happen." So there are stories like that, but I don't know. Okay, finally,
there are those who believe it.
To find your soulmate. And rectify your soulmate, and I will add your general relationships. That is a very, very big purpose of coming back to reincarnation, is to achieve to fix your soulmate, or for soulmate to fix you, and to fix all of your deep relationships in life. Bezrat Hashem. It has. I'm going to go a little off topic now, but that has a lot to do with you. You have different levels of soulmates. So if you are the best Solomon than you can be, then you would get your true soulmate. But I have bad news for you. Getting your true soulmate does not mean that it will be easy and perfect. It means that she will help you achieve the most perfect you as possible. Which might be hard. Sorry. Sorry to be a downer. Yeah, but that's a whole different cheer. Alright, we'll save that for the Bashir cheer. Now, Torah study, learning Torah.
Can we have that one before I leave?
It is. Torah study can help you achieve all of your fixings. Okay, if you learn Torah with seriousness, it's like God speaking to you. Right now, God's speaking to us. By performing mitzvahs, the soul becomes enclosed in the mitzvahs and allows its soul to be enclosed in its full state. So it gives clothing to the soul. Okay? Each mitzvah must be perfected in thought, speech, and action. So it's not good enough to do the mitzvah. You need to do it in the most perfect way in order to fully achieve its tikkun. Mitzvahs that which can't be observed physically can be fulfilled by learning about them. So that's why learning about korbanos, learning about all these things can achieve our tikkun. It's a very high thing. Mishnah, stuff like that. Cool stuff, right? A lot of crazy things coming down. Okay. Many times a person will be drawn to do a particular mitzvah, and they won't exactly know why. I love this mesechet. I love, I don't know, shiluach haken. I don't know, the most random stuff people like. Why is it that they're drawn to that particular learning of that particular mitzvah, according to what we're saying?
Maybe in a past life they did really well in it, or maybe in a past life they didn't do so well in it, so their soul's desperately trying to get more into it.
Like, they didn't do so well
in it. Really
yeah, I think that's because the Rav who taught it to me is dead. But maybe it's because of a past life.
Who knows? It's all just a great story. So, you know. I love Miguel's Esther, so maybe I was Esther. Or
you were Esther, yeah, you could have.
Wait, could men be reincarnated into women? Oh,
so, yes, the Rizal says it happens rarely, but there's a 10% approximately, something like that, that it does. That people do get, men and women do get switched sometimes.
Does the Tanya talk about reincarnation?
Does the Tanya talk about it? I'm sure it does. Yeah, almost all Chassidus mentions it.
Wouldn't that
I'm surprised you don't know off the top of your head.
What exactly did he like say? I mean, I don't remember what chapter, but he definitely mentioned
it. He does talk about it?
Yes.
But life goal is different than men.
I want to like just keep going. Oh, David, how are you? Sit down. Learn with us.
Your goal.
We're learning about coming back
That's
to life.
True. That's true. Yeah. All right.
No, we're talking about reincarnation.
Okay. Similarly, in addition to mitzvahs that you need to do in order to fix your soul, there may be sins that you've blemished that you need to come back for future reincarnations in order to fix your soul. The Chafetz Chaim, for example, talks famously about how speaking Lashon Hara might make you come back as animals or things of that sort in order to achieve your fixing. So we want to avoid sinning in life.
No question.
Let's
say someone is reincarnated, so they have to do one mitzvah, but now in the process they become bad at one thing, so they pass out, they were good at. So they'd have to come back again.
I guess so. I don't know. It's a good question. We should use general principles. It would seem so, but I'm not sure. Okay. Now we go. The book goes through the many examples of great people in the Tanakh whose souls were connected, like Jacob, like David and Jonathan, And even in the last week's Parsha, Yehuda and Binyamin, Nafshok Shu, Yaakov and Binyamin.
They were 11 at the same time. Too.
That's true. According to reincarnation theory, even people who are alive at the same time can have a soul connection. So theoretically, me and David, our souls could be linked. And right now, a part of my soul could be going into your soul, and part of your soul could be going into my soul. And
we're learning together.
It's a crazy concept, but that's called the Sod of Ibur. That works for your wife, too, also. It could happen with anyone you have a deep connection with. Your soul can actually be connecting to each other in that type of way. It's pretty crazy.
Isn't there a thing, though, that like before you're born, in heaven, your soul finds the soulmate, your Basher?
Again, we're skipping to the Basher, so sure, let's save a little bit for that, too. Okay.
Was there a guy that like, had an accident like, in a car and then came back to the store?
Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that. There's a bunch. We're going to do a shiur about the afterlife and people who came had near-death experiences like that. We'll quote a lot of stories like that.
It's a bit scary.
We have to do scary stuff like that.
Okay.
Because it's spooky, scary shiur with Rav Kalman.
Spooky, scary, scared.
Just, I haven't been scary enough yet? All right, I'll try to get more scary.
Yes, please.
Generally, a person has only 3 chances to achieve your fixing. Uh-oh. But...
how do you know which chance you're on?
You know, the thing is, as long as you're making forward progress, you can get up to 1,000 chances.
Oh, okay. So if you make forward progress in one area, then you do it.
I guess. Bye, happy, have a good night. Can I ask you a favor, Yuta? I got super dry. Can you get me a cup of water? Because I
no
this salt. I'll take mine. Take mine. I'm saving the universe through my non-plastic use. There we go.
Saving the world.
One cup at a time. All right, so you can get a lot of chances. Now, Ibor means that we all have different levels of soul simultaneously. And though this is a bit of an argument versus different Kabbalistic rabbis argue about this, the Arizal says you can come back as an animal. Fish, for example, are complete and they're a very high level of soul, so very often tzaddikim would come back as fish. And that's why eating fish on Shabbos is considered a great thing. Or Rabbi Nachman. You might be eating a tzaddik. Could be, you never know. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, shehakol nehyeh b'varo.
Amen!
There's a crazy story about, I think the Chorka Rebbe, something like that. He saw this gypsy with a bear, and he told his shamish to go get the bear. And he brought the bear into his room, and he said, Moshi, you've done enough time. And Moshi on the spot died. The bear died. Right when he said that. He killed the bear. But it's a true story.
I love bears. They're cute.
They are.
You're not.
Does that mean if I take a dog and say, Shmuley done
enough? Well, you have to know that.
That sounds statistically improbable, but who's to say it's not possible?
You have to know that dog was a person beforehand, and you have to know what that dog was going to accomplish.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it, because then you might end up coming back as a dog, and nobody wants to do that.
It's pretty crazy.
All right. Now, a shochet theoretically should have to raise up the soul. Oh, look what we just talked about. The shochet, when he's killing an animal, might be raising up the soul, the soul of the animal by shechting it. So when we eat food, we should have holy intentions to raise up the sparks of whatever food we're eating, both vegetables or animals, because we really could be having a huge effect on their soul. So we best be having some holy intentions.
Vegetables
have a lower level of soul. Which means, like we said, there are 5 levels of soul. So they may have, let's say, the basic level of soul, which is just a life force, but they don't have the level of soul that an animal has. They may have a nefesh, but not. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Now, souls. This is an important part of the shir. Every soul that was ever made was included in the soul of Adam Arishar, which was really Adam and Chava in one soul. Every soul is connected to a body part of Adam.
I don't know which body part I am.
You won't unless you go to like a reincarnation expert. But we are all different.
There are people that I can go to today that were telling me
that you are.
His dad's name is Adam.
Ah.
Wait, there are people that I can go to right now.
I'm guessing you're his left pinky toe or something. I don't know.
There's a reincarnation expert in the old city. And I've heard he will help you figure out who your previous reincarnations are. And he did it to my friend, so I believe in it. And he does speak English. But I don't know exactly the details of how much he'll know. And I've heard that it's expensive and it's like a process. It's not like just like chick chock boom. You have to like
you have to pay for it,
it's like a 5 or 6 or it's a long process.
Sounds big.
I know someone whose wife said he did it and he says it's real. She's so what do I need?
More knowledge into yourself.
I think you have to pay because it's a very long and time-consuming type of thing. And you have to go deep within yourself to discover it.
It's like being a psychic.
I hear that. I hear that.
No,
you guys don't pay me yet.
Actually, you do.
Well, technically, you pay tuition. Which
yeah, but you guys are already signed up before I was hired.
What I meant is, if I wanted to ask a rabbi a question, I shouldn't have to pay.
You're right. But at the same time, it's time consuming. So, and also, people take it more seriously this way. It's a way.
Yeah, I remember when I got the schedule for a training for like Shana Bet. I'm like, okay, Rav Weiss, Rav Wingman, Rav Rafi, who's this Rav Flax guy? I remember I was very skeptical because I knew you, and then like,
and then we realized that our souls were connected. Goodbye.
Mom is connected. We love learning together.
So soul, Mamish, bringing all of Am Yisrael to learn together. Souls connected to this part of Adam are intrinsically connected to other souls of the same soul group. So in other words, if me and Yehuda theoretically were both part of the thigh of Adam, that might explain why we feel a soul connection.
So why you guys like running so much?
Maybe. Seriously. Maybe.
No, Paulman doesn't want jumping jacks. Well, he says, I like running.
The main idea is that individual souls are connected to a larger soul root, and our actions affect each other. Our actions affect everyone, but my actions will specifically influence the person on my soul link to a greater degree, because we're very connected. Sounds good. A tzaddik's soul may come down to the world.
Actually, you can't be a little bit.
Oh man, you're right.
Kebab. Yeah.
Oh, dream.
Wow,
crazy.
We'll thank him.
Solomon was telling me as I was walking through the rain and complaining about it. He's like, "You are praying to God for rain, right? You're supposed to appreciate it." And I looked at him like, "Yeah, you're right."
He's right.
He is right. I should be thankful that there's rain and not frustrated because it makes me physically uncomfortable.
It's hard. It's a hard balance.
I sometimes say, please Hashem, give a lot of rain when I'm not waiting for the bus.
Yeah.
Or on Friday night when I'm already asleep.
As I'm singing in the rain.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Maybe we get to go home early, but...
Oh, the game's canceled?
I'm probably going to cancel it. It's just still drizzling and
so let me know.
It's not worth the injuries.
I love having this discussion happen on my recording. It's great.
Wow. Okay. It's great. Everything's good. All right. Now, the Arizal does. We're doing good. The Arizal does say that women don't undergo Gilgal. I have to be honest. That women don't have reincarnation.
Really?
However, in other places, right, where a woman can come into an Ebor to assist other women, and he does write that women do incarnate with their soulmates. And he documents cases of women Gilgulim. Most rabbis understand that we did believe women went through Gilgulim. He just means not to the same extent as men. So anyway, this is a machlokas of Kabbalists.
I can think of a pretty simple way to explain it. Women generally have an easier time connecting spiritually than we do, so it's more likely that they need to go through reincarnation fewer times than we do.
Yeah, weren't women like... Doesn't it say in like that we blessed to be more like a woman or something?
Shasani kirtona.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what a woman says. That you made me the way
women
you
may be on a higher spiritual state, which is maybe why they don't have to go
why
through.
We ask to be like a woman.
No, that's why we don't ask to be like a woman. We're thankful we're not women.
They're happy to be kirtona, which is more connected to God's desire because they maybe achieved greater tikkunim.
So we thank God that He gave us more mitzvot than women. But women are still thankful because women were given less mitzvot because they're more naturally spiritually inclined. Like, awesome. I think men have further to climb, which is great, but women start on a higher level. It's not like there's a lower... Like, we can both reach this point, but we start like this.
Well, women sink down, they sink down farther.
Perhaps. So, another thing that comes out of this analysis is that if we take the Arizal seriously, then Rav Arish likes to explain, it was Rabbi Nachman Chassid, that if your wife, I was telling you this earlier today, if your wife does something annoying to you, she's just there to fix you. So she's not really her. She's just really Hashem. So therefore, there's no reason to ever get mad at your wife or to get upset at her, because she is simply God giving you a message about how you can fix yourself. Okay? Because she's not, she's just a fixing. She's there to fix your soul. So remember that if, chas v'shalom, you ever get into a fight with your wife, or really anyone.
Anyone.
Really, pretty much, because everyone's really just a messenger of Hashem. Tachlis. There's no real reason ever to get angry. But your woman, your wife, it shines in more strongly.
Yeah, but I feel like when you're aggressive, you're angry, you don't think about that stuff.
For sure, that's why that's the work of life, to train ourselves, to learn. I had the most ironic moment of the day today, I have to say. I just heard a Kabbalist tell me about how everything happens from Hashem. And then I walked to the Tachan HaMerkazi, and this Rav Arish guy, who's the guy who's all about everything happens from Hashem, so was giving me a hard time about how I didn't want to stop and give tzedakah before I went to my bus. Ended up getting frustrated and angry at this guy and speaking with him with a little anger because, like, just let me get to my bus. But do you understand that the rabbi just told me not to get angry at him, and the Rav Arish guy is, like, testing me about not getting angry, and here I am failing my test. The point is, it's really hard. It's not so easy to master these things, but it's a lifetime of work. You have to work on it. If I were on a higher level, why would I get angry at him? I would just say, hey, I have a bus, I'm sorry. But I'm not there yet, I'm working on myself. We all have to work on ourselves, right?
Started, like, ignoring people. Because I find that I don't have very much control of my emotion. Like, it is offensive to ignore someone, but it's less offensive to ignore someone than it is to, like, you know, insult their mother or whatever.
I agree with you. You have to. That would have been a wiser choice for me.
No, I just don't like you, that's different.
All right. Chassidim used to look for Rebbe who they felt was on their soul link level. Okay, and similarly, you know, sometimes a tzaddik will have a child and that child will be on a completely different spiritual level. And it's not the tzaddik's fault. It's just that different souls come into the world for different purposes. You get it?
Yep.
Okay. The Slonim Rebbe explains when it comes to relationships, if you want to know what you have to look at, and this is what we were talking about, Binny, fix the area which is hardest for you. You have something in your life which does not come naturally for you, okay? That is what you need to fix. There's something that your strength, and there's something that you know that you need to work on, and you're deep inside you feel like this is your fixing, but you still struggle with it.
What if there's multiple?
So you probably should work on all those.
But
usually there's something in your life that keeps recurring back and over and over and over again. Your challenge is the same issue. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's kavod, maybe it's the taiva, whatever. And if that keeps coming up in your life over and over again, that's Hashem telling you, that's what you need to work on, that's your fixing.
Can you say
that again, actually? The Slonim Rebbe says when it comes to both relationships and your general fixing in life, the thing that's hard for you but yet keeps recurring over and over and over again in your life, that's probably what you need to fix. That's probably what you need to work on. Okay? You going home now?
I'm probably
going to
go.
Which is perfect because I was supposed to end here exactly now. Hashkacha Pratis.
Okay.
So, to conclude, Bezrat Hashem, we should all focus on what our soul fixing is. And we'll come back next week to figure out what the heck it's all about. And we should realize that every relationship we have in life is significant. Every even act of eating is significant. Everything matters. Gevat al-Chaim. Until next week, guys. Bezrat Hashem.
Bezrat Hashem.